Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father John Bamman. Father is a conventual Franciscan friar at Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio. Welcome, Father.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, great to have you. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we rejoice in your many gifts, including the gift of this day. We ask, O Lord, that you continue to fill our hearts with this joy and this gratefulness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Father, it's so good to have you here. When I did the live show with Katie Wyatt, you were on once, which was a great treat. So it's good to have you back. As we kind of begin these series of conversations, we always like to kind of hear how you came to know the Lord, maybe your own conversion story or your story of faith.
Thanks. Yeah, so I think it started initially when I was a teenager, because as a teenager, sometimes you go to church and you're wondering just how real this all is, and how at times you go through the motions and you do what's being asked of you with your parents, and you go to church and you're like, ah, where else can I be? And I guess I was kind of stuck in that mode until my religion teacher, Father Tom Ryan, a Jesuit from St. John's, a Jesuit in Toledo, he invited me to go on a Teens Encounter Christ retreat. And it was kind of like a non-negotiable. He said, fill out this piece of paper. And I'm like, what is it? He goes, don't ask that question. Just fill this piece of paper out. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to do a thing for a weekend, I gotta see if it's going to... No, you're asking the wrong questions. Just fill that out. And he was just like that. And everybody loved Father TR. And he was just a wonderful Jesuit that was kind of... He knew the first name of all the students. He'd be in the hallway and be high-fiving the students. And he'd have cool music coming out of his classroom. And everyone really, really loved this priest. He just was a wonderfully joyful man. So he handpicked me, I don't know why, out of religion class, probably, you know, three or four of us. It was our junior year. And he said, you need to be there. Do it. So I filled it out, went on this Teens Encounter Christ retreat, and that took me to Cary, Ohio, where Our Lady of Consolation is, and where they've had this legacy of Teens Encounter Christ retreats, just a machine pumping out these retreats there. And I sensed the realness of our faith. I just sensed that here Jesus was encountering us on this retreat, breaking through all our cliques. You know, we had our groups of the jocks, we had our groups of the geeks, you know, and groups of computer guys, or all different kinds. And somehow we all just congealed into the same body of Christ. And it didn't stop at that retreat. It continued on. And we supported each other, and we come back together for reunions and hootenannies, and it completely transformed my whole life. And they had guys' retreats and girls' retreats, guys' retreats and girls' retreats. And once you go on one retreat, then you're exposed to all these girls. And then, at least as a teenager, that was pretty marvelous. And then just knowing that all these teenagers were fired up for Christ, wow. And Jesus, I guess, became very real, and I couldn't go through the motions after that. It was something where I encountered him in the Sunday Eucharist. I encountered him in those great family moments at home where you're like, something special's happening here. What is it? It's like, oh, Jesus is right here with us, you know?
For maybe listeners who aren't familiar with the Teens Encounter Christ retreats, what's kind of the format of those?
Yeah, so it's on the life of Christ, and especially the Paschal mystery, so the dying, rising, and going forth. So one day is dying to yourself and admitting that you've fallen from grace and you need to reconcile with the Lord. And then arising, when Jesus was resurrected, we too rise with the community around us, and we ascend and kind of work our way getting closer to the Heavenly Father. So dying, rising, and then going forth is the idea of going forth and sharing this experience with others without breaking any of the secrets. on the retreat, which is always fun. You know, there's lots of secret surprises along the way. So that dying, rising, and going forth is just a wonderful theme. And then just to incorporate it with a group of people you grow closer to, and you have that.
Do they still do tech retreats at Cary?
They do. It's being repackaged, for lack of a better term. They're looking at a new way to reach teenagers. It's been through a long, long build. And I was with Father Marty Lucas and Father Mike Hohenbrink, and it just had this legacy following. And I came back from senior year in high school and helped work one, then college I came back, then out of college I came back, and it was that same core group that just had this waiting line of people wanting to be part of that team and being part of that retreat. And so now they're in the process of just revamping it and making it have that same desire and appeal of Jesus on the retreat.
Now, from that conversion, then, how did the Lord kind of guide your life, especially to your vocation?
Yeah, so I was a fence rider, and my sister, Kelly, will be the first to say it took me forever to make a decision. And I knew I was called to religious life or called to be a priest by many, many just sort of strange encounters where people would come out of the blue and say, have you ever thought about being a priest? And I get all angry and irritated with them because I didn't want to deal with that question. And it wasn't until I was 34 years old that I just couldn't put it off anymore. And I had to address it. Right about that time, I had this amazing encounter where I was on a tour bus in the Northwest in Seattle, Washington. I had been living out there for 10 years. And before this wonderful charter tour with a group of Ohioans, you know, the best people you could be on a trip with, you know, and I was, they were all from Springfield, Ohio, and we were touring the Northwest from Seattle down to San Francisco and back, and it was visiting all the national parks and the volcanoes and the coast, and it was just an epic trip. And a woman had been praying with me before this trip, shortly before, and she says, you know, St. Clair is going to visit you in a very special way. And I thought, that's kind of a weird thing to tell somebody, you know, but it was in prayer, you know, and I'm like, hey, I believe in the power of prayer, you know, and I just kind of logged it and then forgot about it, to be quite honest. And so I was on this trip and had a great trip with all these people, and it was on the last day of a 24-day tour coming back into Seattle, the home base, 60 miles away, and the motor coach stopped working. It just became, the engine stopped, and there was an exit ramp right there on the side, and kind of coasted into the exit ramp, pulled off at this gravel lot, and I'm thinking, boy, that was a perfect place for the engine to stop. You know, it was just like very safe. People could get out on the side of the road. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to check the gauges in the back of the engine, see what's wrong. And, you know, I'll be right back to you. And I get off the motor coach, go to the back of the engines, open the doors. And I don't know a thing about mechanics. I'm a driver. I'm a motor coach driver. I have nothing. I don't know a thing about what is wrong with the engine. But it just so happens, before I get the third door of the engine open, that top trap door, this guy walks up to me in blue coveralls and says, hey, you need a diesel mechanic. And I'm like, yes, I don't know what happened. The engine doesn't work. I push a pedal and it won't work. You know? And he says, okay, take a breath, settle down, you know, and it could be A, B, or C, you're out of fuel. He goes, let me just, you know, check it out. I go, well, there's no way I could be out of fuel. I mean, it holds 224 gallons of diesel. There's like no way. I've got so much capacity. He goes, okay, well, I'll just check it. He unscrews the fuel filter, bone dry. He says, you don't have any fuel in the system. I'm like, that can't be. I mean, I get fired if I don't have fuel in the system. There's people on board the bus. It doesn't make a very good bus driver. He says, no worries. I just happen to have a 50-gallon drum of diesel in my pickup truck. I can siphon it in there and I can get you up on the road. And there's a process to do with diesel engines where you have to prime the engine to do it. It's not just like throwing it in the tank. And he knows how to do it. So he gets me on the road with pretty little inconvenience. You know, 15 minutes, we're tooling down the road, and then I stopped at a fuel place, filled it all up, and, you know, we're good to go. Well, we had to submit some paperwork for that friendly mechanic on the side of the road that helped us, and my boss found out that I ran out of fuel, and she, in tears, said, "I gotta let you go. I mean, it's in your contract. You're a union driver. You can't run out of fuel and continue to drive." So I was like, oh, this is just crazy. So next thing I know, I'm without a job. I've been driving for 8 years for Great Line of Seattle. My brother calls me up and says, "Hey, you want to go on a mission trip to Lima, Peru?" I'm like, "Well, funny you should ask. I've got plenty of time, no money, but yeah, sure." He goes, "I'll pay. Why don't you come with us?" I'm like, "Wonderful." So we go down to Lima, Peru. Completely changed my world. It changed my whole world. And I came back realizing, gosh, I can't really, you know, return and go back and do the same, because God was churning with me, showing me this other ministry. And my brother, who's always been like a prophet in my life, he said, "Didn't that woman say something special was going to happen with St. Clair?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "What day did you run out of fuel?" I said, "August 11th. He goes, "Do you know what day August 11th is?" I said, "No." He says, "That's the feast day of St. Clair, you fool." I got hit by the proverbial 2x4 in the head and realized, oh, my goodness.
Excellent. Thank you, Father, so much for this story. We're going to continue this in our next segment. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father John Bamman. He's a friar, Franciscan friar up at Cary, Our Lady of Consolation. Until next time, peace and all good.